Hi, everybody, and thank you for joining us for the Three Center Podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Ryan, and today we have with us a returning guest, Dr. Rob Beckett. Rob, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I work here at Manchester with Sarah and Ryan in our Drug Information Center, as well as do a little bit of assessment on the side.
And we've asked Rob to be here today with us to talk a little bit about a couple articles that were published back in early October in the New England Journal of Medicine that detailed the incidence of myocarditis following COVID-19 vaccination. And this was specifically with the Pfizer brand vaccine in Israel. Rob, could you kind of go over what these studies found?
Sure. So there were two kind of companion studies. As Sarah mentioned, they were both Israeli. One of them was a large nationwide retrospective cohort study. And so what they did in this one was they compared their vaccinated patients within 30 days of the second dose to a historical cohort of patients from 2017 to 2019, who obviously would not have received the vaccine. And so, you know, the big potential limitation was that with that would be, is there some reason that cohort would be different from this one? But, you know, probably not. The second study was within a single Israeli healthcare organization. They didn't have a comparison here, but they were just looking at more of a single group descriptive study analyzing the risk for myocarditis within 42 days of the first vaccine, so about 21 days of the second. And so together, you know, these two studies found that there is a small but statistically significant increased risk for myocarditis. Do you guys care if I like go into the numbers and things?
Please do.
So in the first study, the stronger one, they studied 9 million patients, basically the entire country that got vaccinated, and they found 151 cases of myocarditis that occurred within the study time frame. 136 of those were rated as definite or probable. Really a pretty small number compared to the number of vaccinated individuals. So this would correspond to a risk rate of 0.0016% or so, or if you like case rates, 1.6 cases per 100,000. So you could even just round that up to 2 if it's easier to understand, because there's some obvious statistical uncertainty there. Now, the second study found a very similar rate. So they found 54 cases of myocarditis out of about 2.5 million patients. So this gives you 2.1 cases per 100,000 patients. So the first thing is it makes sense that they're close together because some of the patients would have been in both studies. And so it's a little validating to see that. Now, here's where the numbers get even maybe an extra level of confusing to understand is when we compare it to the historical cohort that I talked about in that first study. So the historical cohort had a case rate of about 0.44 per 100,000 patients. Depending on how you like to think about numbers, there's a few things you could think of with that. One is that there is obviously an increased risk. So, you know, myocarditis occurred about 4 times as often with vaccine versus no vaccine. But if you think about that in terms of absolute numbers, that's an increase of about 1.2 cases or about 1 case per 100,000 patients. Another way to think of it is if you like number needed to harm, this is a number needed to harm of about 86,000. So we would need to treat 86,000 patients with the vaccine in order to see one additional case of myocarditis. And I should note, this was statistically significant after the second dose, but not after the first dose. So the second dose is really where you'd be more likely to see this with a patient, even though overall, very, very uncommon adverse event.
Just so that I am thinking about, you know, we talk about the number of needs that harm. But this side effect is not necessarily deadly, right? This is a side effect that, upon my research, it seems like can be treated with medications and rest.
Yeah, I think sometimes people hear the phrase acute myocarditis and they assume that this is a life-threatening situation because it just sounds really scary. And we don't hear about this as an adverse effect a whole lot as pharmacists because it's not an adverse effect of a whole lot of medications. And one of the reasons we're even able to see it is because these so many people have gotten the vaccine. So you're completely right. The second study looked into how severe these cases were, and by far the majority were mild cases. And for most patients, they can treat them with rest and corticosteroids.
So I know that they've been doing studies, obviously, on COVID and the vaccine and these adverse effects throughout the world. Are the results of these studies supported in other studies that you've seen?
Well, these studies, especially the first one, would really be considered the strongest on this topic. If we think of gold standard evidence for safety, a good cohort study is going to be the best, because you can never design a randomized controlled trial to be large enough to really look at these uncommon events. So these are the strongest ones, but there is a slightly weaker one, again, out of Israel, that looked at adverse effects events as a whole with the COVID vaccine. And again, it was still consistent, but that's still within Israel. But there have been a couple of studies in the US, one in Korea, that are more based on surveillance data from spontaneous reporting through things like VAERS, and they've been a little bit more mixed. Most of those have found an increased risk for this, but I would be less certain about the numbers because those studies aren't quite as strong. One of the ones in the U.S. did not find a statistically significant increase in myocarditis, but it wouldn't have had the level of power that this giant study of 9 million had. I think it's important to note that COVID itself is also associated with increased risk for myocarditis. And so the CDC has published numbers that with COVID, the case rate is 150 cases of myocarditis for every 100,000 COVID patients. And so if you're weighing the risk of myocarditis with the vaccine versus not getting the vaccine, if you don't get the vaccine and you get COVID, your risk of myocarditis is actually higher than it would have been with the vaccine. So that's kind of something to think about as well.
That's really interesting. I don't think I've heard that included in a lot of the layperson reporting.
There's just so many things to talk about with it. So one other thing I like to think about with this adverse event is, and I started thinking this way before these two studies came out. So this is based on the numbers from the earlier study that I mentioned. This was also out of Israel, but they found in this earlier one, a number needed to harm that was a little bit smaller. It was about 40,000, still very large. But if you think about Northeast Indiana, if you assume that Northeast Indiana has about 400,000 people, which I think, depending on how you define that, is kind of par for the course, that tells me that if everybody got vaccinated, we have 10 cases of acute myocarditis from the vaccine. If everybody got vaccinated, we also avoid 20,000 cases of COVID. And so kind of weighing those two numbers against each other could be another way of thinking about this adverse event.
And so I think that this is, as we're talking now, you know, kids can go get that Pfizer vaccine. If we're talking about with parents, should parents be concerned about their children, especially boys, getting the vaccine? I have a 10-year-old son, and Ryan, you've got young children. I know, Rob, you do as well.
Yeah, so I think that it's always good to ask questions, and I think sometimes in earnest efforts to encourage vaccination, sometimes healthcare professionals can kind of shut down parents and patients when they have legitimate questions or concerns about the vaccine and things that are founded in evidence. And so I think the first thing is to be really empathetic and, you know, talk through those concerns with patients and with parents. And so these studies did find that the rates, the results are clearly driven by male patients. So in the second study that was more descriptive, 51 out of the 54 cases were in men. And so I think, you know, that's a real thing, and the same sort of pattern was in the larger study. And then the results were definitely driven by the younger male patients. So just to round to easy to understand numbers, the relative risk was three for men aged 25 to 29, and then bumped to 6 for 20 to 24, and then bumped to 9 for ages 16 to 19. And so the trend is definitely in male patients, and it goes up as they're younger. But the problem with the pediatric patients is that the studies that have been done for the EUA have not been nearly large enough to measure this scientifically. So I would say it's definitely something to be concerned about, but again, thinking about the risks versus benefits of not getting the vaccine, the risk that you could get myocarditis from COVID itself, and the fact that many of these are mild cases, we can talk to patients about or parents about what to monitor and when to refer on for evaluation or for urgent care. But you know, there's a lot more to think about besides just this one adverse event.
So Rob, in terms of the information, and I don't know that you have an answer, but we see that younger men who get COVID are more susceptible to myocarditis as well.
I don't know that we have that data, so I'm not certain about that.
Sure. That's something I'm interested to see as well, to see if that trend holds up, just like those larger studies and talking about the susceptibility to myocarditis with a COVID infection. Plenty to learn still.
Yeah.
So taking all these things in mind, how would you say pharmacists should advise patients to proceed with this information that we have?
You know, I think the first thing is to, you know, validate the concern, acknowledge that it's a potential risk with the adverse or with the vaccine, but also let them know that most of these cases are not serious and that most of them respond really well to taking a couple of days to rest, recover, and can be treated with medication. I think, you know, the CDC is obviously very aware of this and is continuing to recommend this medication for adolescent patients, including males, and we don't quite have the data on the pediatric patients to know if it's a concern yet. I think, you know, the importance of VAERS reporting is really highlighted by this one. And, you know, if a patient is presenting with things like acute chest pain, shortness of breath, palpitations, you know, especially if they're a younger male patient who recently got vaccinated, like taking prompt action to make sure that those patients are seen urgently and knowing that, okay, this demographic, this is not likely to be a usual coronary event compared to older patients where they might have received the vaccine, they might not, but they might still be having a heart attack that's unrelated to anything else.
Those still happen in COVID times.
They do. And so if you're talking with patients in a community setting or in any setting and they're complaining of these symptoms, you know, asking about COVID vaccine history at this moment when a lot of people are getting vaccinated, I think is really good.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Rob, for sharing what we've learned about this myocarditis and educating our population here.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you all for joining us for this episode of the Pharmacy Preceptor Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like or subscribe. We would love your feedback on topics that interest you and how we can make this podcast better. Please submit your comments to help us develop content that best serves you. Thanks, everyone.